Hey, mujeres, this is Morena Tan Mala, and you're listening to Mujer No Te Rajes. I have missed you guys so much. I am so glad to be back. So glad to be back to myself. It has felt like an eternity, to be honest. A lot has happened. So much has happened for me in the last 30 days. It's been like a time of radical change in my mind frame and just like the way that I'm approaching life. And my life doesn't quite reflect that yet, but I'm working on it. And I'm just so glad to be back to this conversation because it's been honestly impacting my life in ways that I can't even explain. Like, I have tried to come back to this conversation time and time again. I've been talking about recording this episode for over a month, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Like, I was going through so much emotional turmoil that I just couldn't find the words. I couldn't even find the feelings to even try to contextualize it. Like, I just felt like such an imposter. Like, I pride myself in being an authentic person and authentic communicator, but I was like, how am I going to preach to these strong and courageous mujeres when I'm just talking the talk, but I'm not walking the walk? Like, so I had to check myself. You know, I went through like this moment where I'm like, I just was hating myself. You know, I was feeling so much anger towards the world, towards myself, and just projecting it onto other people, other things. And ultimately, it was just my indecisiveness, my lack of action that was really eating me up because I know that I deserve better, and I'm just not giving myself that. And I'm also letting down the people around me. So this is exactly what this episode is going to focus on, right? Recognizing toxic behavior patterns in relationships, how to take accountability for them, how to end the relationship, and ultimately how to recreate yourself. Because my God, is this one of the hardest things that an individual has to go through? It's one of those things that really shapes you, really defines what you're going to be like, your reaction to these things, right? And it's not that that one thing is going to define you, but it is definitely going to help in the definition of your reactions. And so I may need to break this episode up into multiple segments because it is a lot to cover. So I will do my best to get through as much as we can, and then we will see. We may need a follow-up. So here it goes. So to start off, I want to talk about those unhealthy, sometimes even toxic behavior problems or patterns that may manifest in the relationship. Because a lot of the times we have these issues as individuals, and of course, whatever baggage you may have, you're going to carry into the relationship. And so I actually want to reference a doctor, a psychologist whom I'm very fond of and really has helped me navigate so many of the unhealthy patterns that I've both seen in my partners as well as my own, because it's as much as it sucks to admit, sometimes we're the villain of the story, right? And so I want to actually just point out that you can get all of the information that I'm going to share with you from her Instagram page. If you're suffering from depression or anxiety or any other mental illness, of course, you definitely want to see a professional. But for the sake of this conversation, I just kind of want to give you guys the tools that you can very easily access on a day-to-day basis. And so she's definitely a great asset. I follow her on Instagram, and honestly, like, they're like little random, you know, fun facts to look at that, but really have such a meaningful impact in your life if you use them the right way. So her name is Dr. Nicole LaPera, but you can find her on Instagram as the period holistic period psychologist. And she gives basically like a little 6-step or 7-step breakdown of examples of red flags in a relationship. And so I'm just going to list them off because she does a better job at contextualizing these than I could ever. So to start off, she talks about number one, which is immediately showering you with love and physical affection. Now, that's one of the red flags because basically when someone comes off as clingy, it hints that they may not have healthy boundaries for themselves. Now, it's important to consider because in the event that you were not to make the relationship last, there could be a really negative reaction. Also, if you do make it last, they could be excessively emotionally needy and drain you during the relationship. So I just want to point out that these red flags, you may have one or two, and that may make you an unhealthy individual, but it doesn't automatically deem you toxic or the person that you're interested in toxic. Now, if they have all of these or more than several, then I would honestly take a step back, reflect on the individual who is courting you or who you are courting, or if it's yourself, reflect on yourself and realize that that person or yourself may not be ready to engage in a relationship. And oh my God, the trouble that that would save all of us if we just took that step to reflect and not engage. Because in the end, you may be causing a situation that is going to be really harmful. It could just be really toxic all together. And, you know, we hurt people that end up hurting other people, and we just create this chain of effect, a really negative one of pain and chaos and hurt that we could really avoid if we just took the time to hold ourselves accountable for these unhealthy behavior patterns. So, second, labeling exes as crazy or speaking about them in unresolved anger. This one is funny to me because you hear it so much, you know, like people just never wanting to take accountability for situations they create. And women are so often labeled as crazy. And it just irks me, like, okay, you did all of these petty, underlying, kind of manipulative things that were really low key, but really bring reactions out of people. And then you want to go and call them crazy. Like, and there are some people that legitimately have mental issues. And to hopefully you're never going around calling them crazy because that just makes you POS. But if you legitimately feel like they were just harmful to you, then you can contextualize, verbalize that, communicate that in a much more favorable way instead of demeaning your ex, because I feel like that just says something about your character alone. Like, you should not go around calling people that, especially if you may have been the cause of those reactions. Although you can never really be accountable for somebody else's reactions, you can certainly be accountable for your own imposition of them. So here's what I think about it. For one, it's a demeaning way to talk about your ex. So that alone says something about you. And two, again, it's lack of accountability. Three, you should be asking you, if you're the person in a relationship or beginning engaging in acts of a relationship, whether it's exclusive or non-exclusive, you should be asking them what constitutes crazy for them, because it could be a situation that can reoccur in your own relationship that may place you in the position of this so-called quote-unquote crazy ex. Like, you may find yourself a lot of the times, and I hear this a lot, right, from people who are not very clear in their boundaries with people they're attracted to. And so they create these situations that make their partners jealous, their partners react out of jealousy. And then this person takes a step back and says, wait a minute, I didn't actually do anything here. I was just talking to them. I was just blah, blah, blah. But you know, like they'll try to justify themselves, and they may legitimately be justified from not necessarily cheating, but still they're creating a situation that makes their partner uncomfortable, that creates a reaction, and then want to have like no accountability for it. If you're creating that situation, which It's so common, like everybody goes through that, but we have to be accountable for it, right? We have to say, hey, I understand how that makes you feel. I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Is there any way that I can engage in a conversation with this person without making you feel threatened? Like, you know, hold yourself accountable. So number three is commenting on or directing how your relationships should go with family. Now, this one scares me because this is like some real creepy stuff. If your partner is trying to direct your family relationship, then that just tells me something about their character, and it tells me that they're controlling. And that one is a scary one because your family is your backbone. It's your foundation. It is your support system. And if they're trying to manipulate the way that you conversate with them, it is like they're trying to change something about you that is fundamental about you. So I would be really careful with that. One thing is for them to be involved in your life, to be part of the family, and to want to support you and have opinions. Another is to try to influence you in a negative manner, to distance you from them. Because if they're trying to isolate you from your family, then they may be doing so in effort to control you and to manipulate you in an easier way without people who really care about you interfering. So keep an eye out for that one. There's four, professing undying devotion or seeking commitment, aka moving in, speaking about marriage too quickly. Now, this one is, it just kind of goes back to number one, where they're immediately showing you affection, too much affection, too much too soon. And it basically comments on someone's neediness, their emotional neediness, and their need for you to be their savior. And it's really important, although we a lot of the times welcome like expressions of affection, you got to be careful that they're not too radical, because it could be hinting that this person might be a codependent person or codependent behavior patterns. And so you might be engaging or becoming part of this codependent situation. And if you could walk away from that before you even engage, then you might be able to save for when yourself the heartache, because it is such a painful situation to be in. But also, you may be saving the friendship. You could definitely care for this person and want to be there for them and just kind of slow the roll and just let them know, hey, like, you know, why don't we take this slower? I'm definitely ready to see people and get to know you, but I'm not ready to fully engage in a relationship, and this is kind of moving too fast for my taste. If that scares them off, then you just weren't meant to have that kind of relationship yet. Because honestly, like, too much too soon with the wrong individual, or even with any, honestly, like, it's just scary when we're willing to engage into relationships so quickly. It just means that either you don't have the experiences to set those boundaries up for yourself, to give yourself the time to really get to know the person, or that you're just emotionally needy. So in either situation, it's something to consider. There is five, which is does not keep their own word. Now, this one is really like an irking situation, because everybody does this, right? Like, we all lack keeping our word at some point. And this is really, really important, especially for us Latinos, because it's our code of honor. Ser una mujer de palabra, un hombre de palabra, like, it is the very, I feel like, embodiment of our, like, kind of like ego, you know, like, it defines us. But yet we, so many of times, like, we'll cancel on things, say one thing and then not do it. The issue is when it becomes a recognizable pattern. So that isn't to say, like, we don't all kind of tell, like, little white lies to get ourselves out of situations. Like, you know, it happens. But the issue is when you notice somebody is repeatedly doing it without having a valid reason. Like, it kind of comments on their personality, because if this person is constantly saying they're going to do something and they don't do it, even if it's for themselves and has nothing to do with you, it is a reflection of what they will be like in your relationship and their lack of commitment. And that's something so important for a long-term relationship. You have to have accountability.
this person, individual is not accountable or you are not, there is no way that your relationship is ever going to last. Or it means that if it lasts, it is always going to be at the sake or expense of one of the individuals, obviously the one who is keeping their word. Number six is involvement in another committed relationship with another person who is not aware of you. Now, this a lot of times, obviously this, we're talking about cheating, you know, but this a lot of times happens even before we engage in the relationship and we completely ignore the signs, especially with like this trending dating environment where we're like, we talk about having hoes, you know, like, and it's just, it's so dumb to me that we want to say that we're allowed this privacy and that we don't have, like we shouldn't have to explain to others what our relationships with others are. And I completely agree. You, if you're not committed to anyone, you're entirely free to date whoever you want, but you should be forthcoming. Like this as a moral basis, like you should be letting the people you're talking to know, hey, FYI, I'm seeing other people. I really like you. I really want to keep getting to know you, but you should know that I'm also getting to know other people. It's really important that you verbalize this because for one, it lets the other person know how involved they should be with you. And two, it just speaks volumes about your moral character. The fact that you're honest enough to expose yourself and then leave it up to them if, you know, if they want to continue in that courting. But if this person doesn't even respect you enough to tell you that in your relationship, then what's to keep them from omitting truth in the future if they feel like it's personal to them? Like that is something just really scary in it, and it comments a lot about, comments on their, I guess their definition of honesty. Because honesty can mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but are you have noticed that people have different definitions of honesty, which is really scary. There are people who are really forthcoming and blunt, and then others who feel like they're only honest in a way that is convenient to them. So I feel like that is a good conversation to have, like talking about what honesty means to them right off the bat. There is number six, number seven, impulsive. And this is just a behavior of impulsiveness in general. But she mentions it with money, substances, or decisions. And I guess this is just your overall, does this person rationalize before they make decisions kind of thing? If they have impulsive behaviors, then they might have abuse issues, you know, where they might have unresolved trauma with like money, with substances like drugs or alcohol, sex, and in general decision-making. If they're not being, if they're impulsive, then they may not be rationalizing about the decisions that they're going to make within your relationship. So that may come to, you know, cheating. It may lead to abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse. It's just there are small things to look out for. And it doesn't automatically make this person a monster. Like, doesn't mean that they're going to resort to the worst. It's just things to have in mind and know that they have to be pointed out, that they have to be spoken about, because they have to be worked on in order to not turn into something toxic, because it could just be something, an unhealthy pattern that you notice. But once they start stacking up, then you have a situation that's toxic and that will ultimately affect you, whether you're the perpetrator or the receiver. It's just, there are things to definitely consider when engaging in a relationship. Now, I also wanted to talk about accountability. Now, this is really important just as individuals outside of the relationship. I feel like just learning how to recognize that, like what a healthy approach to accountability looks like versus betraying yourself by not holding yourself accountable. And she does a good job at again, with one of her charts, she does a good job at contextualizing it. And basically, she just gives like a part for part. So basically, she talks about accountability, what that sounds like, and then self-betrayal, what that sounds like in contrast. So I'll just read these off to you. And the first is, my emotional reactions show me where I need healing. That's self-accountability. Self-betrayal would sound like, people make me, quote unquote, react and have no choice in my response. Self-accountability. I keep promises to myself because that's self-love. Self-betrayal. I don't follow through with my own word. Self-accountability. Every day is an opportunity to choose my healing. My God, is that true? And two, self-betrayal. Every day I repeat my past unconsciously. Self-accountability. I can learn new skills with practice and commitment versus self-betrayal talk. If I'm not quote unquote good at something, I quit. Self-accountability. I work to become conscious of my own patterns. Self-betrayal. I blame and affect, which keeps me stuck. And I just kind of want to give you my interpretation of all of this. And just so that you understand, you may be a very healthy individual with all of these self-accountability attributes, but if you are with a person and engaging with a person who constantly self-betrays because you love them, you are ultimately betraying yourself. You have to understand that a person who is in the mind frame of self-betrayal is going to act out of selfishness because they are not in a state of mind, in a healthy state of mind, to take care of you, much less to take care of themselves. So they are going to put you in positions where you are going to have to make the one, you're going to have to be the one to make the choice to leave. Why would they leave? If you're their beacon of light, if you're what keeps them sane, if you're their comfort zone, why in the world would they leave you? And we often stay there because we're like, no, they love me. They wouldn't do this to me. They wouldn't, if they didn't want to be with me, they would just walk away, right? No, they would not walk away. They would rather have their cake and eat it too. They are going to stay there because you're comfortable, because they can have this toxic behavior, have these toxic patterns, and you're still there. So we have this very infamous saying, you know, for Latinos, el hombre llega hasta donde la mujer lo deja. And it really applies to any situation, any gender. If you are the healthy person, the healthy individual, assuming la mujer, and the man is the unhealthy, toxic, patterned person, then you have to be the one, the mujer has to be the one to say, hey, I love you, but ultimately our relationship does not meet the standards, does not meet the vision of what I think we should be, what I think a healthy relationship in general should be. Because at the end of it, you can have a long relationship, but if it's not healthy, then you're going to be stunting your own growth. You're going to be miserable. You're going to have issues of self-esteem. You're going to have issues of mental abuse. You're going to create this really toxic and negative environment for yourself that becomes harder and harder to leave as you age. Why? Why does it become so hard to leave as you age? Because you've devoted so much time. So now you have that waiting it, you know, like saying, oh my God, am I going to just throw away all of these years? Also, there is the fact that you have merged with your partner. You've become part of their identity. They've become part of you. And so it just, again, it creates like this codependent situation. And in a sense, all relationships are codependent to a certain extent. It's just, there's a very unhealthy way to be codependent where you no longer know how to act without your partner's approval and how to exist without their, you know, take on you or without their involvement. It's so sad. It's so sad to lose your identity to a relationship. I used to think that it was beautiful, you know, to become one, and it can be. But there has to be a boundary. There has to be your own self-identifiable traits, your gifts, you know, your own creativity, your own magic. So be very, very careful with the situations that you enable by allowing, not because you're partaking in the behavior, but because you're not saying anything, you're not standing up for yourself and understand that these patterns, these behaviors are chains that are passed down to your kids, to the people around you who are watching, more so than you could imagine. And to break these chains is so hard. And I'm speaking from a place of experience where I have been in a long-term relationship with someone whom I was so devoted to and found myself unable to walk away before the relationship got toxic, before it got codependent, because I was so fixated on trying to help them. I did not realize that I was in a situation where I was giving more to them than I was giving to myself. It is so easy to fall into those patterns when you have an unhealthy partner who is really not prepared to be in a relationship, not because they're bad individuals, not because they hate you, not because they don't care about you. That is self-talk. That is like victim self-talk. Not everybody that you're with is hurting you because they hate you or because they don't care about you. It's because they don't care enough about themselves to even care about the relationship or the damage that they're causing. They are so caught up in their own pain and their own suffering that they cannot take care of you. So you're going to have to stop the victim self-talk and take accountability for the situations that you've enabled, that you've created, and get yourself out of them. Tell them, hey, I love you. I want to end this relationship in a place of caring and of nurture, and telling you that I'm not walking away from you because I hate you or because I just hate our relationship. No, I'm walking away because I love you and because I love myself and because I want to see us grow as individuals in hopes that we may one day find healthier relationships, whether it's with each other again or whether it's with other individuals. It has to become this, it has to become a trend, because we are creating these patterns that are basically a chain of effect. You know, we go and we hurt one person who then is broken and damaged and then goes and hurts another person. And like, we're just creating these toxic environments all around us. So I think this is where I'm going to end this note. I'm going to continue the conversation on the next episode, talking about how we can ultimately end, find the closure, and recreate ourselves from the relationship, which is honestly the hardest part. We talk about like identifying these patterns, and we have that information. A lot of us know we're in a toxic relationship, but we don't know how to walk away from it. So here's to that next episode. I hope that you guys have enjoyed this conversation, enjoyed this topic of conversation, and that you do what you can with the information and definitely look into this person. You know, as I mentioned, this psychologist has been so impacting and so meaningful in my life. And there are so many others that I will discuss later, but just make intentional choices to surround yourself with individuals who help your self-growth and promote your self-growth and promote your peace and ultimately nurturing yourself. We will be back. I'll be back in the next probably couple of weeks to discuss again how to get that closure and how to recreate ourselves, because I think that the whole finding yourself again is a funny way to frame it, because you never really find the old individual that you are. You, in a sense, create a new person out of yourself, out of that, all the broken pieces. Well, that wraps it up. Again, thank you so much for listening, mis mujeres escuchas. Hasta la siguiente vez.